For me, going from being a teenager in the age of AIDS, where we had a president who didn't even say the word, to becoming a 38-year-old man who was adopting his first child, you know, to see those changes take place, there's been certainly a ton of progress. But it's also great to have the Pride Group to educate people that, you know, we're certainly far from across the finish line yet.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on Dwayne Morris DEI 360 with Joe West. I am Yumika Anderson Howard, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager at the firm. Today, we have our very own intellectual property partner, Mark Lerner, who sits down with Joe to discuss his role as co-chair of the firm's LGBTQ plus employee resource group, DM Pride, and the importance of community.
Hello, everyone. Joe West here. I am a partner at Dwayne Morris. I'm also the firm's Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. And I have the privilege of visiting now with Mark Lerner, who is not just a fantastic partner at the firm, but he also co-leads the very first ERG that the firm established, which is our Pride ERG. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Joe. Nice to talk.
Very good. So, Mark, let's talk a little bit about you and about your practice. How long have you been at the firm? When and how did you come our way? And what's your specialty?
So I've been with Dwayne Morris for about 2.5 years at this point. I joined in February of 2020, right before the world ended, with the Satterley group that came over. And I was with the Satterley firm for 25 years before joining with Dwayne Morris. And my practice is largely intellectual property and media focused. I do a lot of trademark prosecution and counseling for clients, both in the media space and the commercial product space, consumer product space. And I do media defense work as well as other kind of media transactional work related to publishing and pre-pub review.
So you talked about that very interesting timing of after a quarter century at another firm, that in and of itself is traumatic enough, making the transition, but then doing so literally a month before, as you put it, the world ended with the pandemic. Boy, I can only imagine how challenging that whole time, that whole transition was for you.
It was a challenge, but it was also an opportunity. And in some ways, I would say there was really a big silver lining to having been pushed into remote work. And that is joining a platform and a firm with 800 attorneys, having come from one with only 65 attorneys and only a single office. I was worried about integration in that I felt I was going to spend or try to spend a good part of my first year with the firm trying to travel from office to office, trying to get to know people personally. And that was off the table very quickly, obviously. So it eliminated some pressure, but at the same time, because the firm was so concerned about keeping everybody together, having communications, making sure that people weren't isolated, the Zoom meetings and the get-togethers, whether it was with this specific subgroup or firm-wide or meet and greets done on various levels, really got me to see and recognize and know people in other offices. So that by the time in October of 21, I guess it was, when the firm first got together again in person in Philadelphia, there were people who I had already been working with for 18 months that I gave a hug to and thought, wait, I haven't met you in person before?
Right.
It was just so odd. I mean, there are people who I met either through the ERG, which was great because it was a small group. And I thought, terrific, here's a good person down in Miami who I can use, or I need this person out in California that I was introduced to on a Zoom meeting or other. And it just, it made it that much easier to integrate into a multi-office firm in a way that I think might have actually been harder if we were in person. And, I was so used to a world in which if I wanted to talk to an associate about a project, I stood up from my desk, walked around the corner, poked my head in their office, and started chatting. But being in the Zoom world and being on the phone, what have you, made it, so much more normal now. So if I have an associate who is the right person to do something for me who's in Philadelphia. Yeah, it's outside of what I was used to doing for 25 years, but now it's completely normal for me to pick up the phone and talk about an assignment as opposed to poking my head in their office.
Our firm culture really does lend itself to that level of collegiality and collaboration, which I think proved to be a real strength during that time period. So very good point you've made about that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I felt, you know, completely welcomed. Again, you know, I did enter the merger with a bit of trepidation, having worked for a mid-sized firm for 25 years, but that really all quickly evaporated. And I felt like, you know, our whole firm was embraced by everybody. And there was really no barrier to entry as far as that went.
So your practice area is not and historically has not been typically known as very diverse, I think, fair to say. I think it's probably in the IP space, there's a greater focus or at least desire for some fluency around issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Tell us a little bit about how things have changed and evolved in that space in your particular practice area and what you see as some of the challenges that might remain.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, to be clear, I'm in what the patent people at maybe not our firm, but other firms will call soft IP, right? And I think that soft IP has historically actually had at least a little bit better representation in terms of women than maybe the patent bar has. And since I haven't practiced in that area and didn't for 25 years, I mean, I didn't have as much background in terms of those issues as to D&I. I mean, being a gay man, I know I'm diverse. I know other people in the space, you know, who frankly, I first got involved with INTA, the International Trademark Association, when I was probably about a fourth year associate, so around 1998. And after one or two conferences at INTA, I made contacts with a subgroup of INTA that call themselves GLINTA, the Gay and Lesbian International Trademark Association. So I quickly met a lot of gay and lesbian attorneys in the space, and granted, at a conference of, you know, at that time, 3,000 to 4,000 attorneys, the fact that there were 10 or so of us gathering, yes, it was a small community, but there was a community there, and that grew just as INTA did, so that in later years and the aughts and early 2010s, you know, you would go to a GLINTA meetup at INTA and there would be, you know, 100 people or more because it became one of the sort of go-to gatherings at INTA and everybody wanted to be there. So, you know, in the soft IP space, I feel like there hasn't been as much of a challenge, at least in terms of women and gays and lesbians. I think in terms of people of color, I'm not sure that we're any worse than any other area of the law. And I think there's still a ways to go. But, you know, at least as far as, you know, women and LGBTQ, you know, the trademark bar has, you know, decent representation in terms of the numbers there.
So just generally about, and you can answer this question from a D&I angle or not. I always, when I talk to people about their respective practice areas, I always like to get a sense for and give our audience a sense for what some of the emerging trends are, what some of the things that are impacting the practice, what are some of the things that you see coming down the road that might merit people's attention.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think not necessarily from a D&I point of view at all, you know, more just from a trends in the trademark space, there's been a lot said about and there will continue to be a lot more said about the metaverse. And, you know, there's a lot of trauma and I don't know whether it's hand-wringing or, you know, running around trying to figure out whether there are holes that need to be filled, new areas that need to be launched into, or whether there is already kind of as much protection and attention as there needs to be, because the virtual space isn't really going to change the way that protection is handled in the existing real world space as it is. So that's still going to play out over the next year or two. Will be certainly interesting to watch that. And I don't think that really, you know, impacts D&I one way or the other. In terms of trends, from a D&I point of view, I mean, I just think that as with every other bar, the reckoning that everybody has come to is going to impact our bar as well. And, you know, I'm glad to see that there is a lot more attention being paid sort of across the board. Does that mean it's going to be easy to resolve? No, it certainly doesn't. But you know, I'm glad that our department in the firm has made a point of being involved in the Mansfield certification, and we're tracking all our pitches and doing what we can to make sure that we are, at the forefront there. And I think that the Mansfield, the efforts with Mansfield certification, I just hope that will be a trend moving forward, that more and more firms will see that as the future and something that is just baseline has to be done.
Well, we're fortunate to have received Mansfield Certification Plus for the second year in a row. I think it's a testament to our leadership and the focus that we have on these issues. And speaking of that, I want to talk a little bit, Mark, about the Pride ERG that you co-lead. Pride is, as I mentioned, the first of our ERGs that were launched. Talk a little bit about the work that the firm is doing in this space, the Pride ERG in particular, and some of the sort of priorities, programming things that the organization has done through Pride and might be doing in the future.
Sure. I mean, one of the very first things I think that Pride is doing, as all the ERGs are doing, is visibility. And visibility is always important. And the fact that we have a group and people know that there is a presence and there are LGBTQ attorneys at the firm, it helps with recruiting. It helps just, mentally for people knowing that there are people around. I mean, just as visibility is always important, the Pride group creates that visibility. It was one of the things, honestly, that I didn't know a lot about before coming to Duane Morris, that they had a good reputation as far as D&I. I will say when we first met with some folks in New York and Philly, I kind of wondered where are the gay people at? Where are my people? But then quickly learned that there was a Pride group and thought, okay, great, they're on it and there is a group. And then, within weeks of coming to the firm, I had a community. And so for attorneys coming into the firm, whether lateraling in or coming in as a junior associate or a summer associate, that Pride group is there. And that's so important that, somebody will instantly recognize there are their people. And, beyond that, I think as with the other ERGs as well, there's a visibility and there's the education and there's, the normalizing that all comes with that and helping people understand how they can be allies, how they can be advocates, what are the challenges that still face attorneys in this space. I mean, there's certainly been a lot of progress. I mean, in the 25 years that I was at, my prior firm and now, I mean, frankly, in my lifetime, it really is amazing. I talk to, parents and grandparents about changes in the world from the digital age and the massive changes that they've seen and space. And, frankly, talking to my husband's grandmother about refrigeration being the largest change that she saw in her lifetime. And you think about, what a game changer that is. But for me, going from being a teenager in the age of AIDS, where we had a president who didn't even say the word and really had no recognition, to becoming a 38-year-old man who was adopting his first child. And frankly, it was only after that that I got married. But, to see those changes take place, there's been certainly a ton of progress. And it's great to have the Pride group to reinforce the progress it's made. But it's also great to have the Pride group to educate people that, we're certainly far from across the finish line yet. And there continue to be issues and there continues to be, discrimination that is faced and challenges. And one of the things I'm proud of that we did this past Pride, we had the CEO of Family Equality, which is the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating equality for LGBTQ families, and talking about the states in which it is still difficult to have a second parent adoption, talking about how the Dobbs decision impacts LGBTQ families, talking about, all the progress that still has yet to be made, I thought was a really great thing. And the fact that the firm gives a platform for our ERG to having guests like this to talk about issues that are facing our community, about the progress that has been made, but the struggles that we still face, it's not you know, coming from a smaller firm, A, I think we didn't have the resources, and B, there just wasn't, honestly, there wasn't the attention to D&I in the same way. And moving to a firm in which it is so clearly part of the DNA and the management is so behind this as to give opportunities for all these ERGs in the workday and to make it part of what being a lawyer at this firm is about, is participating in these town halls and learning about these issues to make sure that we're educating all of our attorneys, not just those who are in the ERGs, but there's just an opportunity to really, you know, learn and grow and become allies, you know, is a terrific thing.
Well said. I think that's a perfect place to end. And Mark, we're right at the 15 minute mark. Thank you for making time. I appreciate it. Thank you for all that you've done to make our firm a better place in the short time you've been here. I will point out that it's occurring to me for the first time that you'll be able to attend the first fully in-person, non-virtual annual meeting in a few weeks in Boca Raton. So looking forward to reconnecting with you there and having the entirety of the Duane Morris family all together at one place.
I'm looking forward to it. Again, thanks for having me, and thanks for all you do to support the D&I efforts at the firm. It's much appreciated.
Thank you, Mark.